I'm very pleased to introduce our presenter today. We have Dr. Amy Kilborn, who will be speaking, and she is the director of the Query Program, as well as a professor of psychiatry at the University of Michigan. So we want to thank her for joining us today. And Dr. Kilborn, are you ready to share your screen?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Excellent.
Great.
And we're good.
All right, thank you very much. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to all of you today about Query and the changes that have gone through our program and how it might really be a leader in the era of the learning healthcare system. So I'll start first. We have a poll question for all of you. We wanted to figure out what your primary role was in a VA. So this time, I think we're going to do that quick poll. And can you just get that up? Great, thanks.
Thank you. So for our attendees, you'll see the poll question is up on your screen at this time. What is your primary role in VA? We do understand that a lot of you wear many different hats in your VA position, so please select your primary role. At the end of the session, there will be a feedback survey that has a more extensive list from which you can choose in case you're one of the people clicking other. But your choices at this time are student, trainee, or fellow, clinician, researcher, manager or policymaker, or other. And it looks like we've had almost 80% of our audience vote. So I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and share those results. Amy, you can talk through those if you'd like real quick. They might be hidden behind your full screen mode.
No problem. Great. Thank you. So it sounds like a slight majority of all of your researchers, which is great. And I'm glad to see that we've had students and some clinicians and managers and policymakers as well. And certainly, we hope that this presentation will be useful for all of you. So I'll go ahead. We have another question that's a little bit more specific, and that is in the second slide, what best describes your experience with implementation research? That's a core component of the Query program. So you want to go ahead and do that one real quick?
Great. So the answer options here are have not done implementation research, have collaborated on implementation research, have conducted implementation research myself, and the last answer option I had to abbreviate a little, but it's have been a clinical or administrative collaborator on an implementation research project. So please take just a moment to fill that out. It will give Dr. Kilborn a good indication of the level of experience we're working with today. All right, it looks like we're just about the same response rate, almost 80%. So I'm going to go ahead and close that, and I'll share those results now.
Great. Good. So we have a really diverse group here. So really it kind of focuses mainly on folks who have done some collaborations on implementation research and have conducted research themselves. And then I'm also really glad to see folks who have not done implementation research in the past or have maybe been a clinical or administrator leader, a collaborator on an implementation research project. So what I hope to do is to really get a lot more discussion in terms of what we can do in terms of what Query is doing in terms of implementation science as we move forward in the learning healthcare system. So I'll go ahead and continue with the presentation. And I just want to do a check if everyone can see, are the slides being shown at this time?
Yep, you are good to go. Thank you.
Great, thanks. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how VA healthcare is changing and how the world's changing and how it's going to pose some challenges and opportunities for individuals who conduct implementation research in Query and also Query as a whole. I'll then talk about Query's new thinking and direction and its updated strategic plan and our new programs and partnered evaluations and how they're being responsive to the changing VA priorities. So there have really been three major trends in the past year that have substantially altered the landscape of VA healthcare. I think the most prominent one has been the Veterans Choice Act, which has been the law that was passed last year to allow veterans to seek care outside the VA. This is a major transformation in VA because it's essentially making the VA healthcare system more of an accountable care organization as both a payer and provider of healthcare, as opposed to almost being an exclusively provider role for veterans enrolled in its system. This is going to be a huge change in terms of how the paradigm is shifting for VA in general. In addition, we had a new secretary, Bob McDonald, start a year ago and has launched a new transformation of VA called MyVA. And the central theme of that is really this idea of shared services, that it's no wrong door, that we don't have silos between healthcare or health insurance or things like that. And the idea is that veterans ought to be able to go to any healthcare facility and experience seamless services. And this is something that was adopted in our Veterans Health Administration budget as really an ultimate priority goal of the Veterans Health Administration and where the QWERI program sits. This means that we've been challenged by a lot of questions about what QWERI has done this past year. We've been really, I think, fortunate to have the support of Office of Research and Development and of VHA National Program Offices, but they are grappling with a budget deficit and fixed budgets. And there was instituted in the past 6 months this idea of having a new justification process where everything had to be justified based on its linkage to new and updated VA priority goals. And the question that has come up for us to justify QWERI is that why should VHA continue to fund QWERI through medical care dollars? And that's an important question because we do fund field-based investigators to conduct important work that leads to improved quality of care for veterans. We administratively sit in the Office of Research and Development. That really allows us to take advantage of the national network of experts in the country who are VA investigators. At the same time, we are paid for by medical services dollars. And with the challenges the VA is facing, particularly around everything from paying for hepatitis C medication to paying for care outside the VA now that there's the Veterans Choice Act, we've been particularly challenged to further justify the added value of quality enhancement work that QWERI does in light of the fact that those same dollars are also used for medical care services. And this is, I think, part of a larger trend that's going on in U.S. healthcare and important for implementation scientists to consider as well. There's been healthcare reform with the Obamacare Affordable Care Act, with Medicaid expansion in particular, the formation of healthcare exchanges at the state level that also are involve these accountable care organizations, which are essentially alignment of healthcare payers and providers to provide essentially what the ultimate goal would be to provide population health care. There's also consumer-driven care trending as well with the growth of e-health and mobile health technologies and virtual care. There's also been the trend towards the use of big data by major health plans to understand and better intervene on patient populations depending on their level of clinical severity or their health services needs. So all this is happening also in an era of fixed budget. So with the growth of Medicaid expansion, there has been a growth of this idea of accountable care organizations and also more the concept of having capitated payments. So we're moving from an era where publicly funded health care used to be primarily fee-for-service is now moving towards bundled payments that get sent to accountable care organizations on a per member per month to pay for all sorts of services. So separate mental health or primary care, the idea would be to pay for those in combination. This is the ultimate goal is toward population health. But these are also major challenges facing the country, and they're all being dealt with in different ways depending on what state you live in. And it's further complicated with the population of veterans across different states as well. In addition, implementation research is evolving, and really I think evolving in many ways to really meet the needs of better understanding these really big picture trends that are happening in VA and elsewhere. There's increased competition for independent funding. There's, I think, a lot of competition in NIH for health services research funding. The VA in particular has been a strong supporter of health services research for many years and continues to be. There's also growth of other major health plans that are, such as Kaiser and others, that are also getting into the business of health services research as well. At the same time, though, the academic success paradigm of publishing new things and new innovations and getting more grants to build upon those, there's been a challenge in terms of whether or not that paradigm really leads to successful public health impact. And this idea is really was encapsulated last week at the State of the Art conference, a comment that was made by Secretary Bob McDonald, where he said that, you know, research is great. We need research. We need innovation. But we also need people to also be able to reapply or have reapplication. So he was essentially talking about the idea that it's great to have more innovation, but we also need to get the work done to make an impact through what he termed reapplication of those research findings into practice. There's also been, I think, increased opportunities, but also challenges in building the right infrastructure for regional and national data capture so that we know we're making a public health impact, that we know that these evidence-based programs or treatments are actually being used and there's a level of provider uptake. In many cases, if we're going to be doing these large implementation studies, we need the big data to support those and to measure those. And oftentimes that can be challenging, and especially in areas where there's a need to collect more information on persons and their care, for example. There's also the issue of generalizability and the fact that many of our studies often occur in the same settings, but we really have to reach out to lower resourced settings or treatment areas that may not have the same resources as a major academic medical center, and the challenges there of building programs that were developed and tested for effectiveness in well-resourced settings, whether or not they can work in lower-resourced settings, particularly in rural areas, it remains a challenge, but also an opportunity to involve implementation scientists to think about this. And then finally, I think the nature of doing implementation science, it's really about the partnership and finding those opportunities where you have a shared agenda and shared goals with the healthcare systems, with your operations partners, because in essence, I think, as many implementation scientists know, some of the best ideas really come from our clinicians, managers, and operations partners. So learning healthcare systems has been defined and paraphrased, and this is from the Institute of Medicine, as a continuing cycle where data are generated from delivering healthcare, are used to create evidence to improve care, and then again, those changes are in turn subjected to careful evaluation to continue the cycle of improvement. So in essence, it, for many of you, if you've ever been involved in an implementation, for example, of the chronic care model or collaborative care model, there's really this notion of using data to improve practice as you go at the patient level. Think about the learning healthcare system as a huge care model where you're trying to do this at a more systems level and getting the pieces working in combination. There are challenges to this thinking. It's really this idea of being a little bit much more mindful, a healthcare system being much more mindful of what it's doing and how it's improving care. I think that the challenges remain for implementation scientists is that so many changes are happening. It's really challenging to maintain that scientific rigor and that protocol that you wrote to basically, you know, maintain that in light of the clinical priorities. So you may settle on a topic and a key design only to have those clinical priorities by your healthcare partners change, and that happens a lot. The limited availability of specific improvement strategies, meaning that we have these evidence-based treatments, but the number one question we've gotten, including from our undersecretary 2 weeks ago, is basically, what do we have in hand to get those treatments into the hands of frontline providers across the VA nationally? So what do we do? How do we transport that information? How do we get them to use? How do we get frontline providers to use evidence-based treatments or practices, but in a way that's also sensitive to the challenges those frontline providers face? There's also, again, limited population health data to really benchmark the impact. So if you want to do a large multi-site study, multi-regional study, you often need to spend a lot of money collecting that data on a primary basis, or you have to rely on good secondary data sources, which, you know, may not be complete depending on what you're looking at. So what are some of the questions for a learning healthcare system that I think, if provided to clinical leaders and managers, are, I think, the more crucial questions? And really to sort of think about where Aquarius' role has been in this idea of informing the learning healthcare system is that we think about 4 major questions. What are the most important areas for improvement from the perspective of leadership and from clinical managers? What are the most effective ways to improve? So that gets at, you know, how do we actually get those improvements into the hands of frontline providers? How do we spread, or how can we spread our improvements more quickly and more widely, especially across different practice settings? And if we do spread those new treatments or programs, do we know if these efforts to spread those treatments and programs are working? So one of the major questions we often get in Office of Research and Development and HSR&D is, what does HSR&D do now that Corey's changed? And I think the goal of HSR&D is really to understand the system provider and patient consumer factors that affect the access, quality, and cost of healthcare, and to develop and test mainly clinical interventions that improve quality and outcomes of healthcare for veterans. So it's really addressing those first two learning healthcare system questions. CLORI takes it from there and is really designed to, really more designed to help VA providers and operation partners more rapidly implement and spread those research findings and evidence-based treatments by using quality improvement strategies and in turn evaluating the results of that spread and those efforts. So it's really about once you get to that stage where you have those treatments or programs to actually spread them and to look at whether we can do that more effectively. And that's a simple answer. And we'll go into more the complexities about the delineations in a little bit. So Quality Enhancement Research Initiative recently updated, our program updated its strategic plan and our mission statement in response to the challenging questions we were getting from central office about further justify what we do, why are we important, what have we done. And we've done a lot. I mean, we've done a lot in 17 years, and we have a lot to show for it. I think it's really the message and getting that message to those leadership entities and frontline providers is crucial. And so in doing so, we really wanted to maintain our commitment to making sure that research gets used effectively by providers and leaders to ultimately sustain care improvements for veterans and beyond. And that was really sort of our main message, that we are committed to making that sort of that reapplication, as Secretary Bob talked about, happen, make that reapplication a reality. We were established 17 years ago in 1998 as part of the last VA major transformation. So at the time we were established, there was a transformation to make VA more primary care focused, and that there was really a focus on disease-specific evidence-based practices in key areas. And that was really needed at the time when primary care was really relatively new entity for VA, where it was basically a hospital-based system, and this idea of having, you know, some specialists the treatment happening in primary care and guidelines that were for, you know, key conditions in primary care, key disease-specific areas in primary care, I think was really, a paradigm shift. And we saw this especially with the idea of depression treatment in primary care, where, you know, if you think about 40 years ago, it was really this silo between psychiatry and primary care. And now we think about depression or mental health treatment in primary care as being, you know, sort of the whole package of primary care services. And that's, I think, in really has a lot to do with the CLORI's implementation and impact in VA and beyond. It was also a mechanism to better link and involve national experts like yourselves, researchers like yourselves, with clinical operational partners to make those changes happen. So CLORI continues to evolve to meet the needs of the Veterans Health Administration and VA in general. The CLORI strategic plan was updated based on a national evaluation that happened right before a lot of these major issues and scandals were facing VA in terms of access to care. So it was really a confluence of results from that national evaluation plus the major transformations VA was going through. We have updated field programs or programs, a national network of programs in the field that address Blueprint for Excellence goals. And the Blueprint for Excellence is the VHA's strategic plan that is much more focused on cross-cutting issues around access and quality and safety and care experience for veterans. We also invested more in these partner evaluations to promote the learning healthcare system, and what better way of having a shared agenda with operations partners is to have co-funded partner evaluations with the operations partners to really make sure that the operations partners had a voice in terms of shaping the actual evaluation, but also involve the right experts at the right time to make this happen. But we've really had challenges and opportunities with CLORI, and I think this is sort of our first year. We'll be coming into this fiscal year with a new set of programs, a national network of CLORI programs, and more partner evaluation centers than we've ever had in the past. But the challenges that we continue to have is really defining, measuring, and communicating our impact, communicating in a way that's understandable in a way that creates more dialogue with our operations partners. There's also challenges and opportunities to conduct rigorous study designs that are really in this parameter, really this parameter of quality enhancement that is both rigorous but practical, so so that we can actually look at the further dissemination and implementation of programs and practices. We also need to think about ways in which Query can be a leader, a national leader, in thinking about unburdening providers, particularly primary care providers. So we spent the last 20 or so years making VA more primary care focused. Now primary care providers have a lot of burden in terms of having to screen for this and to deliver that. We actually have a new Query program that's focused on the de-implementation of low-value services that we're really excited about starting this coming fiscal year. We continue to do deep analyses of intended and unintended effects, and this is really was pioneered by the Query implementation research coordinators who put together a wonderful implementation guide, which is on our website, and really were the ones who were thinking about the sort of the conceptual framework around how do you understand what are some of the system provider and consumer level impacts or factors that might contribute to the uptake of evidence-based practices or new treatments or programs. And then finally, thinking about ways in which we can link the activities that Query supports, either through the training of providers, and deep coaching or mentoring of providers, academic detailing, other implementation strategies, and really showing that there's really this impact on patient-level processes or outcomes of care. It's oftentimes a very elusive goal unless you have data to, you know, that you collect on both the implementation and the clinical processes or outcomes. But we strive again and again to work with operations partners to build those data sets to help them with that process as well. Another area in Query that really was encouraged, that we were encouraged by VHA leadership to take on was this idea of randomized program evaluation, particularly program evaluation of time-sensitive, high-priority topics from VHA leaders. And this really came from the Office of Management and Budget, which strongly suggested the VA that they do more studies or do more evaluations of the programs that they implement so that they actually know that they're these policies and programs are working in the first place. And this comes from some really a bipartisan group of individuals, John Bridgeland and Pete Orszag, who both of which used to be with the Office of Management and Budget, White House Economic Council. And they wrote a book called Moneyball for Government. And it's really this idea of data-driven policy that, you know, we talk about evidence-based clinical practice, like we know it really well, but when it comes to making policy, this idea of evidence-based policy remains elusive. And they quote at one point saying that less than $1 out of every $1,000 that the government spends on health care will go towards evaluating how well the other 999 plus actually works. So in response, the VA's fiscal year 2017 budget process will place a priority on, and this is a quote directly from the 2017 budget, on scale-up interventions or policies that have been shown to work, and proposals that will further develop agencies' capacity to use evidence evaluation and data as tools to improve program outcomes. So with Query, we are well positioned to be active partners in this kind of thinking and this kind of work. We have done this for a decade and a half, and we can continue doing this. So our updated Query strategic goals, and these are the ones that really were developed program-wide, so that includes all the work that we're doing with our field programs and our partner evaluations and our studies as well. It is our first goal is literally from the Veterans Health Administration Blueprint for Excellence to rapidly translate research findings and evidence-based treatments into clinical practice. Our second priority strategic goal is to increase the impact of VA research findings through bidirectional partnership, rigorous evaluation, and communication. So that gets into the partnership aspect. And the third goal, one we really wanted to maintain our network, our national network of implementation experts and beyond, is to make VA a national leader in promoting a learning healthcare organization through innovative improvement science and academic affiliation. So these three goals map onto this concept of learning healthcare system, that we are looking towards rapidly doing these rapid practical evaluations and quality enhancement activities to translate research into practice. We communicate those findings and we do rigorous evaluation to make sure that what we're doing is actually working and can be spread. And we ultimately ground those two goals under this idea of having implementation science be the crux of what we do and how we think. So just sort of taking a deep dive into that first priority goal, one of the aspects of Query's mission and Blueprint for Excellence that really, I think, gelled nicely was this idea that Query was seen as the essential engine of translating research or implementing research findings in evidence-based treatments into clinical practice. And the milestone that we were given in VHA was to think about ways in which we can increase the number of empirically tested implementation strategies available for different practice settings, particularly those in are considered quote-unquote later adopters, if you look at the Rogers Diffusion of Innovation model, or lower resourced sites. So essentially creating strategies to improve the uptake of evidence-based treatment by providers or clinical managers, but having a sort of a library of different implementation strategies that can be used in different situations depending on the context. And the context is, can really be measured by the barriers of facilitators that query has really query investigators have really invested time in terms of understanding, such as the consolidated framework of an implementation research model and other models to do that. Our milestones are really thinking, in terms of thinking about that, really help to, again, be that essential engine to help get that research into the hands of frontline providers and ultimately the veterans themselves. So in outlining our major strategic goals, we wanted to also showcase how the goals were really adapted based on, they're really based on two major areas of influence. First, VHA leadership, after reviewing our strategic plan drafts as well as our national evaluation results. And also based on a year ago, we had a strategic planning meeting with the query coordinators at the time to help hone in on these strategic goals and to make sure that we incorporated the lessons from the national evaluation to make sure that we were honing in on strategic goals that were going to be, you know, particularly salient in moving forward. So we didn't, you know, we could not have asked for a better time, but also a more challenging time to actually have query evolve to meet the needs of a changing VA. So in terms of our first priority goal, from translating research into practice, we evolved from having condition-focused centers, which were absolutely vital at the time when VA was transforming to a more primary care-based model, and also to a model that was focused on quality measurement, to these two programs that were aligned with Blueprint for Excellence goals. And these programs are, and I will describe shortly, are really designed to, again, get the best of both worlds, both the disease-specific expertise, but applied in a way that meets cross-cutting goals, so having the best of both worlds there. In terms of increasing our impact in partnerships, we focused a lot on developing guidelines and disseminations and toolkits, moving that forward further to conduct partnered evaluations and having our evidence continue with our evidence synthesis program centers to make sure that those guidelines are actually being used and actually being implemented and evaluating policies that are based on those best practices as well. And then in terms of having promoting improvement science, we were told that we had to back away from investigator-initiated projects because we looked too much like research, and there was a concern with a tight budget that we would not survive if we were going to continue funding exclusively investigator-initiated research. And so we said, well, let's move toward more of a model of evaluations and programs that are focused on conducting quality enhancement work, but in turn embedding in the quality enhancement work a national goal of designing and developing implementation strategies that we can in turn deliver and basically give to VHA operations leaders and so forth to help them to better improve quality in their practices as well. So this was really a shift in the way of thinking about query, not only given the way that we're funded, but making sure that we were really focused on our ultimate goal in terms of quality enhancement. So what have we done in terms of query? Well, I think query has learned a lot this past year. We've learned from all of you in the field who have helped us to essentially design not only our new strategic plan, but also help us design these new areas in which we're investing our funding in. But again, we had a national evaluation and a strategic planning process that was really carefully applied to come up with our new priority goals and making sure that those priority goals were aligned with VA and VHA national priority goals. We also implemented Veterans Choice Act evaluation initiatives. This was in response. At the time, we had some of our funding swept middle of last year. It was restored after numerous attempts of negotiation, and they said, we'll restore, VHA Finance would restore our money if we can essentially apply that funding towards evaluating the new Veterans Choice Act because there was a need to better understand what was going on with the Choice Act. We also had were subjected to an updated national budgeting policy and process called the PBBE, which in bureaucratic jargon means that we start with $0 and we have to basically add and justify from the get-go what we're using our money and why. So everything Inquiry that's doing is tied to VA and VA strategic goals, as it has always been, but it had to be articulated even more clearly for VHA leaders to really understand our impact. And then we then finally, I think, two major thrusts in this coming fiscal year were the expansion of the Partner Evaluation Initiative, which retain essential areas of expertise and really retain the opportunity to take the more disease-focused areas and to create partner evaluations that were really about rigorous assessments of program-specific initiatives and evaluation. And then our programs, the National Network of Programs, address national impact goals such as Blueprint for Excellence, but do so based on a broader coalition of partners, not necessarily disease-specific, but tapping into disease-specific expertise, but are also required to conduct local quality improvement initiatives to really make sure that we have that tie back into the local needs of the essentially of our clinical partners. And this was also an important opportunity to develop a library of implementation strategies for these programs. So when I've talked a little about the query impact measures and really described in more detail how the programs function and how the upcoming programs will be functioning and also the partnered evaluations and give you some examples of what we're working on. The query impact measures were also updated. These, again, are based on the Institute of Medicine, and this is how the Institute of Medicine also really, I think, measures how much of an impact they're making in terms of the Institute. But the ones we wanted to focus on were adoption and overall impact. Whether or not our products and methods are used by VA provider and VHA leadership or VA leadership. And in addition to that, have there been policies or practices shaped in response to findings from query? So these impact measures were added to our programs and partner evaluation initiatives in addition to the traditional impact measures we often use, such as papers and publications, to basically make sure that we are being responsive to our operations partners. So I want to first go over the Veterans Choice Act evaluations that were done in conjunction with the Office of Analytics and Business Intelligence. So again, these were funded in the latter 6 months of fiscal year 15 to basically look at deep dive evaluations. And if you want more information, I highly encourage you to contact the 7 investigators who led these evaluations. This was really, in a sense, they were all pioneers working with people in OABI who have traditionally not worked with researchers in the past, such as product effectiveness, some of the other groups. So it really forged some new partnerships. I would say that they all were challenged with really coming up with strategies and workarounds to get data. And I really say that they did a wonderful job just really negotiating some really tough inquiries into getting the data, because essentially that was one of the most challenging aspects of conducting these evaluations. But there were in-depth evaluations of implementation access and outcomes in 3 sites using a mapping of provider availability and access to care. There was also work that was being done to essentially program and measure utilization trends in primary specialty care, quality of care and care coordination and overuse of services, care coordination for women veterans, veteran satisfaction measures and choice with pharmacy, appropriateness of opioid therapy, and then special issues facing veterans with PTSD. These 7 projects were doing something that a major evaluation that was essentially codified in by law, which was Section 202 of the Choice Act, was just looking at the broad issue of was the Choice Act being used or not, yes or no. These 7 projects really hone in on query's expertise and the ability to take a deep dive into the unintended and intended consequences of such a law, especially for vulnerable populations. And what was really heartening is that many of these projects were actually referenced in VHA leadership calls this past couple weeks as VHA tries to figure out what's actually going to be happening with the Choice Act moving forward. So these, I think, even in the few months that they existed, have made a significant impact in terms of really informing what's going on for VA care. In terms of thinking about query and implementation strategies, I want to then also take a step back and talk about what we mean by that exactly and where that comes from, and getting back to that link, because the implementation strategies are going to be a core product out of the query, particularly the query program. This was a slide that we had created to really illustrate the connection between key areas of research priorities under HSR&D and how they inform implementation strategies. So there were a few RFAs, and for those of you who are researchers who might be familiar with the request for application from HSR&D, you might have heard that there were three RFAs out on the Learning Healthcare System Initiative. They focused on measurement science, such as measuring care experience and validation of measures. Provider behavior focused on aspects of decision making, from behavioral economics and neuroscience, and then operations research, the idea of using mathematical modeling for health systems. These three areas of research that HSR&D is encouraging really can be used to inform the creation and innovation of new implementation strategies. These implementation strategies, in turn, get used in query programs and projects to basically further spread and implement the research findings and effective treatments into routine care practice, into the lower resource sites in particular, to lead to changes in VHA policies or practice improvements. So the idea here is that HSR&D can also, in its portfolio, think about the system provider and patient level factors that can inform the development and testing of these implementation strategies, which in turn helps query to further implement research findings into practice. So why implementation strategies and why query is really fixated on this? I think it's because, we've talked a lot about having a six-step process and there's a query pipeline. But the pipeline often, if you think about it, just sort of ends at the point of which, okay, we have this effective program or practice, let's do it. And I think the part of what's doing it gets complicated when you think about the clinical and population research that gets generated from effectiveness studies. There's always these gaps that may happen, or these sort of roadblocks that often prevent it from actually leading to improved health or processes and outcomes. And before I go on with this slide, I really have to thank Liz Gifford and others at the VA Palo Alto for their help with designing this slide in particular, and making it a little bit prettier than the original slide I originally had developed. But there are really four major barriers that VA can face, or others can face, in trying to implement effective treatments into practice. You have a persistent quality gaps across systems and variation that you need to consider. At the frontline provider part, at the top here, is that oftentimes frontline providers have competing demands, and adding yet something else to their plate of things to do can be challenging, understandably. There's also, in many situations, some of these, even effectiveness studies, these treatments often get tested in highly selective patient populations, and there might be limited external validity in terms of what we can do, so they have to be further adapted. And then finally, just the idea of having a sort of a set of treatments or practices, you have so many that you need to choose from to implement, there's oftentimes a challenge of making sure that they're aligned with national priorities and what VA needs to focus on. The ways in which query can apply implementation strategies to maximize the research and public health impact can be done by essentially looking at ways in which, we can sort of open up those pipelines. So implementation strategies for later adopter sites, which is our main goal, sort of coming up with strategies that can really provide more frontline provider support in implementing the treatment. Having provider-focused quality improvement initiatives, so not just thinking about just giving sort of this push into the field where you push a new treatment into the field, but maybe pulling provider interest in getting this treatment used by figuring out if there are ways of improving the overall practice. Designing the actual interventions themselves for the real world, and getting implementation scientists at the earlier stages of the pipeline so that when there are treatments or interventions being designed and tested for efficacy or effectiveness, that they're ready to be implemented in the first place because they are practical. And then essentially conducting national program evaluations to make sure that the implementation work you're doing is aligned with national priorities, and to make sure that the programs and policies are rigorously tested so that they are essentially working essentially addressing national priorities. So query is moving towards this notion of precision implementation. the idea of using the 12 programs and our partner evaluations to develop and test across many different diseases and conditions different implementation strategies. This is a slide that shows really some key examples. It's overly simplistic, but just tries to illustrate the different types of implementation strategies that our new CORI programs will be working on, including learning collaboratives, community engagement, some of the work by Ken Wells and Loretta Jones, training, TA, technical assistance, audit and feedback, facilitation, coaching, unlearning technique, and then also using systems redesign, lean and health systems engineering. And thinking about that, there's going to be a different set of implementation strategies for different circumstances. Some of these strategies are cheaper to use. Others are more expensive. So you may want to think about implementation strategies, the more expensive ones that require more of a deep dive interpersonal working relationship with frontline providers, using those that in sites that may need that support the most. So thinking about ways in which you can adjust and tailor these implementation strategies depending on the organizational readiness, the different degrees of diffusion of innovations, and so forth. So I'm going to go over quickly the architecture of the CORI programs and how these components of the CORI strategic plan, the implementation strategies, and the thinking around quality enhancement fit together. So this is a picture that really tries to depict the ultimate goals of the CORI program. Each of them are aligned to address a national impact goal. Overall project objectives, that they have different projects that are designed to address an impact goal that's aligned with a VA national priority, such as the Blueprint for Excellence. The foundation for which this stands is based on a coalition of providers and operation partners and investigators. So involving more than one condition-specific area, more than one operations partner, you can mainly make the whole greater than the sum of the parts by focusing on an impact goal that's shared by essentially several individuals or several key leaders and partners. Each of the projects addresses a VA national priority goal, but may address it in a particular disease or condition area. In the middle, there's the required local quality improvement project, which is really to develop that relationship with local facilities or the VISNs, and to basically make sure that frontline providers are involved and engaged, and really to help evidence what the provider needs. And these three projects, the three core projects, would be supported by the application of different implementation strategies depending on what they end up focusing on. So essentially, it's really a foundation of a coalition of your operation partners, providers, and investigators moving towards the creation of specific project areas and local quality enhancement projects to ultimately achieve a national impact goal. So the 12 CORI programs are outlined in this slide that looks like it's one of those airline slides, but what this tries to show are really the linkages, because all these programs had at least one PI. Some of them had more than one PI listed in different places. So it really gives you a sense of the national network of CORI programs. Many of them, most of them are really led by internationally recognized implementation scientists. So we're very fortunate to have this group leading these 12 CORI programs, and I really thank them for their efforts in putting together these applications in such a short time period, too. So the programs starting in this fiscal year are listed here. They focus on many areas: the implementation, improving pain-related outcomes, precision monitoring to transform care, virtual specialty care, bridging the care continuum for vulnerable populations, enhancing care for women veterans, the triple aim, team-based behavioral health, personalizing options and veteran engagement, care coordination for high-risk veterans, long-term care and goals of care, and then measurement science. So you can get a sense from these 12 titles that they're focusing on key mechanisms or methods of implementation, but each of these, if you look at their actual programs, are also doing it in disease-specific areas, but also in cross-cutting areas such as primary care or specialty care as well. And the CORI programs, not surprisingly, have a bunch of key partners. This is a Wordle that sort of depicts some of the major key partners who are involved across the 12 programs. So we have really sort of reached beyond the key partners of the original 10 centers to really in embrace a much wider tent of individual VHA leaders as well as their program offices, not only in patient care services program offices, but also in operations, in clinical operations, and in some cases having partnerships beyond VHA within Big VA as well. So we're really excited to have this wider tent of partners at really working with us in Clery to make this happen. Then I'll then talk about the partner evaluation initiatives. And again, we have, I believe, 11 active this coming year, and we're also soliciting for more partner evaluation initiatives as well. But this, again, gives you a sense of where the key experts are located around the country. And topic-wise, you can see that they're much more specific and much more focused on these time-sensitive evaluations that are needed by an operations partner for a specific program or policy. So VA nursing is funding 2, Office of Patient-Centered Care is funding 1 on patient-centered care. These are mostly funded by the operations partners with a little bit of Clery funding to help support rigorous evaluation. The thirds are developing the geriatrics and extended care program funded 1. We have one that's continuing on lean enterprise, evaluation of lean enterprise transformation. Cleveland, the evaluation center is one of the 2 evaluation centers of specialist care. We have a caregiver support evaluation center that's focused on evaluating the caregiver support program that was highlighted at last week's state-of-the-art conference, and there's really an active discussion with the Secretary about that evaluation as well. That was a very well-attended session. Clery also has a partner evaluation with the Office of Health Equity and also looking at one on healthcare-associated infection prevention and evaluating new education and practice models for the patient-aligned care team and so forth. So we get a sense of really these time-sensitive and I think high-priority VA topics, but really are benefiting from the experts in the field, from the implementation and from the experts in health services in the field who are part of these partner evaluations. So what are the lessons learned in Clery, and how can we apply that as we think about moving forward in the learning healthcare system? I think Clery went through a lot of challenges in many respects many health plans around the country and healthcare organizations are facing. I think the notion that the most important thing we learned was we needed to partner or perish. We needed to make sure our impacts were heard and were articulated, but also to show that we are also addressing and are flexible to meet the needs of a changing VA. And in doing so, I really think that if you think about the Clery investigators in the field and the ones who have really been successful for the past decade and a half, these are the folks who have gotten involved early with their operations partners. They partnered local and nationally so that they had a presence locally as well as nationally, and were seen as high value in both entities. They over-communicated their impacts early and often, and also listened to hear if there were needs that the operations partner had that they needed to adapt their studies to. They sought out innovative angles from the conversations they had from their operations partners to see where can their problem solving happen. They diversified in terms of looking not only at creating science through research, but actually making sure that they also applied that towards quality enhancement activities and evaluation. And they also thought about resources that operations partners also had beyond funding themselves. Some of the most important gifts our operation partners have given to our Clery investigators include access to data or data resources that no one else would have necessarily or no one else would be able to use. Also, provider networks. There are many organizations in VA that are really the policymakers for key providers in the field, so you have this access to provider network. And I think finally that our Clery investigators have continued, despite the challenges, despite having to jump on moving trains and work with operations partners in time-sensitive areas, have continued to publish and stay grounded in science, making Clery one of the top major influencers of the implementation science movement, according to NIH Dissemination Implementation Conference years ago. So these challenges, I also just want to thank the field. I want to thank all the Clery investigators for, a very interesting and challenging and productive year. I also finally want to extend a thank you to all the Clery cyber seminars in recent history. There are many more beyond I can sit on this slide, of course, but I just wanted to highlight the ones that I think were really particularly helpful and We in VA will need your expertise moving forward. VA is going through a major transformation. This is the opportunity to think about partnering with more individuals, more entities. And you can see that also staying grounded in science and making sure that the best of the best gets used there in the real world. So, again, I want to extend a thank you to our to my compatriots who presented on the Cori seminar series. Although it's officially sort of ending, but I would say it's morphing into a more generalizable series, we will be continuing a national network of implementation scientists led by Dr. Ann Sales, who will be having monthly calls, as well as, you know, continuing this, of course, the cyber seminar series that HSR&D has always had for many, many years. So, again, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to speak, and I look forward to hearing your questions. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Kilborn. So for our audience members, go ahead and use the GoToWebinar control panel to submit any questions or comments you have right now. To do so, just click the plus sign next to the word questions. That will expand the dialog box, and then you can enter any questions or comments you have for Dr. Kilborn, and we will get to them in the order that they are received. The first question we have pending: I have never seen a 1515 operations research position advertised with the VHA. Why is that?
A 1515 operations research position. That's a really good question. I'm not sure why either. If you send more information to me at my email, I can try to find out.
Thank you for that reply. Amy, do you want to move it to the slide that has your contact info?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
No problem.
I'll help.
There you go. Perfect. Okay. So a couple people are asking for a copy of these slides. You already have a copy of these slides. You can go refer back to the reminder email you got this morning, and there is a hyperlink to download the handouts. Thank you. Next question. Can you suggest any training opportunities for a person new to the field of implementation science?
Good question. I think there have been a lot of challenges with travel in VA and the federal government, but nonetheless, I would say I would look locally and as well as nationally. So there is a competitive training program called TIDR, which is Training in Implementation and Dissemination Research in Health. I forget the actual name of it, but it's through NIH. They do select, you have to apply. But if you want to get a taste of implementation science, the Cori Implementation Guide is available on the website. You know, certainly look at that. That's really a wonderful document put together by the implementation research coordinators and really provides a wonderful sort of self-taught, self-read introduction to implementation. There are also training programs. There's longer-term training programs such as the one that the Implementation Research Institute, as well as one through the National Cancer Institute, and we can certainly provide more information about those as well. But in addition, some of the clinical and science translational institutes at your home university may also have implementation science training as well. So I encourage you to look at the CTSI programs at your medical centers as well. We're in a point in which there's the huge demand for more training in conducting implementation science, and oftentimes not enough time amongst our existing implementation experts. But looking at the realm of what's available locally and nationally, you can certainly put together something that could work for you.
Excellent. Thank you for the reply. We've got lots of wonderful questions pending. So the next one, is it fair to say that all query SDP proposals will need to focus on testing implementation strategies, either through Type 3 hybrid or other design?
So the query SDP is service-directed project. And let me first say that query, because of the nature of our funding being medical services, and because that VHA finance was clearly making the case that we needed to focus on quality enhancement and not look too much like research, we were told that we had to basically stop offering RFAs of the service-directed projects, which were individual projects. However, you can do those types of projects within a context of a program, a larger query program, or you can conduct evaluation work with an operations partner through a partner evaluation. We're a relatively small program compared to HSR&D, so we're like less than $20 million, and HSR&D is about $88 to $90 million. So what we're doing in HSR&D is creating a more clear set of guidelines about what would be essentially allowable or encouraged in terms of submission to HSR&D. And I'll say that HSR&D in the past has funded what has been called Type 3 implementation studies, which are oftentimes randomized controlled trials, cluster randomized trials of different implementation strategies. Many times they funded them, but they haven't been called that. They've just been called cluster randomized trials, for example. But nonetheless, we're going to come up with some clarification through HSR&D about the types of research and the types of studies that could be funded. So HSR&D would be a home for those types of studies as well. But if your work is part of a larger program inquiry, or it could be something that could be done as part of a partner evaluation, we would encourage those as well.
Thank you for that reply. How does an individual investigator get involved? Will there be opportunities to collaborate with query centers like the old RRPs?
We won't have a mechanism like a rapid response proposal. However, I would highly encourage you to visit our website and contact the query program leads to see if there's an opportunity for you to get involved in those particular programs. Those query programs are going to be highly encouraged to basically, even though they're focusing on an impact goal, you know, the idea of the impact goal is that they would be more cross-cutting and not just focus on one disease focus area, but would focus on in more areas. So I think if you have an idea that is aligned with the impact goal of the 12 queries, that's certainly great. You can also figure out there's another way of being entrepreneurial is to think about working in partnership with a program office or a VHA operations partner that might have a need for an evaluation and the funding to help evaluate. And if you do partnered evaluations through query, they tend to be cheaper than standard evaluations done outside because there are many ways in which you can do the evaluations more quickly and cheaper by the nature of our funding. It allows us to conduct more rigorous quality improvement. So think about if you want to be entrepreneurial, think about there might be an opportunity to align and partner with a VHA operations partner that might need your expertise and help, and in turn you can apply for a query partnered evaluation.
Thank you for that reply. The next question we have, can you expand on the Learning Healthcare Organization RFA on provider behavior? Will it be reissued? Will it be reviewed as HSRD or query?
Good question. So those Learning Healthcare Organization RFAs were through HSRD. And the first one that was posted, the RFA was posted, the due date was last spring and they were just reviewed. We need to figure out what the funding priorities are and our availability of funding for those learning healthcare initiatives before we ultimately decide on re-releasing that RFA. But these are really, I think, in my opinion, I'll say these are important and hot topics even outside the VA, provider behavior, operations research, measurement science. And my sense is we would certainly want to basically, we hope to re-release the RFA, but maybe in a different form. So we'll get back to the field shortly about what we plan to do about those.
Thank you very much. Regarding the partnered evaluation projects, what pressure do operations offices have to conduct program evaluations? At this point, it appears that we, implementation scientists, need them, but why should they spend their tight budgets funding us beyond the, quote, it's the right thing to do argument?
Oh, good question. It was outlined in the fiscal year 17 budget as a clear indicator of what these program offices would need to show. So evaluation was one area that is going to be more and more prominent in the budgets of the partnered or the operations partners to begin with. So it's something that was highlighted in FY17, not only as the right thing to do, but that was basically coming from a mandate from the Office of Management and Budget that they need to do more evaluation work. VA was criticized for implementing programs and policies without having evaluations to back them up. In all fairness, so was CMS. They were criticized in their demonstration programs for not conducting rigorous evaluations. Now, that's sort of the high-level argument for those. Sort of the more boots-on-the-ground argument has been that program offices often don't have the time a lot of them are really busy just implementing their programs, and they often are being told you need to evaluate. And in many cases, oftentimes they also need to know if their program's working themselves. They just need to basically figure out, and they don't have the expertise available. So oftentimes it's an advantage to them to actually tap into the national network of VA investigators to work with them, as opposed to, let's say, if they had to quickly pull something together and send a bunch of money out to a, you know, maybe to an outside contractor where it might take a lot longer and time and be a lot more expensive. So one of the most valid arguments we made to VHA about the need for conducting partner evaluations was when we showed the list of 7 projects, which, you know, essentially were similar to the partner evaluations. They were, you know, in partnership but mainly funded by us. Those cost less than $2 million, and in some program offices were spending that much and more for one project. We got, for less than $2 million, 7 projects done. So as an example, so the same thing goes for partner evaluations. They're much more cost efficient from the program office's perspective to show added value and to have a feather in their cap about doing evaluation work.
Thank you for that reply. That is the final pending question we – oh, just kidding. You mentioned that the final decisions about the re-release of the Learning Systems RFA has not been determined and that it may be changed in its next release. Where does this put submissions on the original release?
The submissions on original release are still being decided. Those, if you applied back in June, I think that's when HSR&D, I believe, is meeting soon to make some decisions about those particular projects, I believe.
Thank you. So again, somebody wrote in that the scores were released today on the RFA.
Oh, good.
Thanks for that info. Okay.
Keep my fingers crossed for everyone who applied.
As we all will. The person is asking, can they be resubmitted regarding the original submissions?
Good question. I'll double check. I'm basically wanting to make sure that that would be possible. If that's a good idea and if you got an encouraging score, the first thing I would definitely do is contact the SPM who is essentially in your in that portfolio. So I would definitely, whatever you do, contact the scientific program manager.
Excellent. And we are at the top of the hour. Dr. Kilbourn, I'd like to give you the opportunity to make any concluding comments you'd like to.
I just want to thank everyone who joined and participated. I really appreciated the opportunity to provide a summary of query. You know, it's challenging times. I think it's challenging and weird times for health services researchers. I think the world's changing, but in general, just keep partnering and keep thinking as an entrepreneur, and I think there are going to be opportunities down the road to really make it an impact on VA care and also health services care in general.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for presenting to the field, and we're very much looking forward to the next iterations of the query programs. And, of course, thank you to our audience for joining us and for the excellent questions. I am going to shut down the session in just a moment. Please wait while the feedback form populates on your screen. It's just a few questions, but we look very closely at your responses, and it helps us to improve our sessions as well as find other topics that you are interested in. And Amy, just so you know, many people are writing in. Thank you for the excellent presentation.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So go ahead and reflect that in our feedback survey. So thank you once again, everybody. Yeah, right? All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you. Take care.